to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price, brought our redemption. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, 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 to break every chain. I hear the chains falling.
To break every chain, to break every chain. call his name this morning. Jesus, we love your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated if you'd like.
Struggle, you are the God of the breakthrough in my by your name. Breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the
breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise. Breakthrough when I live and glorify your name. Breakthrough when I dance. Breakthrough when I shout. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my heart. Breakthrough in my mind. Breakthrough in my spirit. Breakthrough in my soul. Breakthrough in my weakness. Breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my worship. Breakthrough in my praise. Breakthrough when I lift and glorify your name. Breakthrough when I dance. Breakthrough when I shout. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough.
Brother Mike, would you pray for the offering this morning? Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Shout!
glorious. God is most high over all the earth. Jesus has conquered. Satan's defeated. The enemy is under my feet. So I will shout with a voice of triumph. Shout with a voice of praise. Shout for the victory, shout if you've been set free, shout. Shout for the victory, shout if you've been set free, shout. So I will shout with the voice of triumph, shout with the voice of praise, shout with the voice of triumph, shout with the voice of praise, shout unto God for the victory. Over all the earth, Jesus has conquered. Satan's defeated. The enemy is under my feet. So I will shout with a voice of triumph. Shout with a voice of praise. Shout with a voice of triumph. Shout with a voice of praise. Shout unto God for the victory. Shout for the victory, shout if you've been set free, shout. Shout for the victory, shout if you've been set free, shout. Shout for the victory, shout if you've been set free, shout. Oh, I will shout with a voice of triumph. Shout with a voice of praise. Shout with a voice of triumph. Shout with a voice of praise. Shout unto God for the victory. Hey, hey, give the Lord a shout of praise.
Many ways we as emotional creatures express ourselves. His facial expressions, there's body language, there's voice, there's clap, there's lifting of the hands, there's all a myriad of things that we do as we celebrate or as we acknowledge something that is good or something that we appreciate or something that we feel deserves applause. And I think there is no one more deserving of service. There's no one more deserving of applause. There's no one more worthy that we should lift our hands, that we should lift our voice, that we should shout. Amen. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And my wife and I, our family, on our way to church this morning and saw numerous vehicles with different sports equipment, some kayaks strapped to the top, and people that were going to start their celebration. I'm sure that some have already started their celebration of Memorial Day weekend. I would hope that those that are out celebrating would actually remember what the day is all about. But we're coming to church because I, as leader of my home, I'm endeavoring to make a memorial for my family. I'm endeavoring to instill something inside of them that will live on if the Lord tarries after I go. And so, yeah, I get it. I understand there's pleasure in getting together and having a grill out and cook out. And we're going to have a good time together this afternoon at 5 o'clock down at Knights Park. I invite you to come, a potluck, a bags tournament. We're going to have a good time together, fellowship. But I'm here in the house of the Lord this morning because I'm making a memorial. I want to be remembered as a man who served God, as a man who endeavored to live his life as an example to his wife and to his children, of someone who feared God with his whole house. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Why don't you clap your hands? Why don't you lift your voice? Lord, we applaud you. We're here, God, today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like you to be seated for just a few moments. I do want to remind you there is a sign-up sheet at the back to sign up for bringing stuff tonight. We would encourage you to bring a chair. There are some park benches there, but we would encourage you to bring a chair, probably some sunscreen, although we don't know how much sun we'll have that late in the day, but there's a possibility of some. So I want to bring some sunscreen, some insect repellent, and bring your skill if you have that, in the sense of throwing bags. And if you don't, we'll just come anyhow and we'll all laugh together. But we'll have a good time. Just looking forward to that. It's just a potluck dinner in Knights Park, north of town. We have reserved the pavilion there. Thank you, Sister Connie, for making sure that was possible and going out of your way to reserve that for us. And we're just looking forward to a great time together this evening. But before we get there, there's still some service yet to be done. And we certainly want to take time out to remember what this weekend is all about. Memorial Day tomorrow. We want to give honor to those who have lost their lives in the giving of the ultimate sacrifice. Those that have died in duty, serving country, and we do not want to neglect recognizing that. And I am thankful for those who have paid the price that you and I have the freedoms that we have today. That I can get up in a pulpit and preach on a Sunday morning without fear of reprisal, without fear of them coming in and arresting me. I would hope that I would do it even if that was the case. But I'm thankful that we live in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. And I'm thankful for those lives. I have no doubt that many of, if not all of us, have a loved one who has died in armed forces. And so we do want to take time to commemorate that, and I think it would be good for us to take a few moments and let's just thank God for those individuals who have paved the way, if you will, who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. Can we do that for just a few moments? Dear Jesus, we're so thankful. Thankful for men and women, God, who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in securing the freedoms that we have. Lord, we consider these to be precious things, God. And we don't want to fail, God, or neglect an opportunity to come before you and thank you for those lives, God, that were given. Lord, let us take time out this Memorial Day weekend, God, to commemorate, to celebrate those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, God. Lord, in doing so, they are like you. For greater love hath no man than he would lay down his life for a friend. We thank you for their commitment, their dedication. We honor it this morning. Jesus, in your precious name. In your precious name. If you have your Bibles and you'd be so kind to stand. As you're turning in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. I have preached along these lines before, and if you're around here long enough, you'll hear me preach along these lines again. I believe it is something that we need to be reminded of time and time again. A man who should be in our highest esteem, a man that, if you understand Scripture, was the key that unlocked the door for you and I as Gentiles to receive the promise. Acts chapter number 10. Before we start reading, I do want to take a couple prayer requests. Mike Gilty, I believe it is, a friend of Brother Al's, who he's taught a Bible study years ago, has some tests coming up. They found a spot. They're not sure what they're dealing with, but we want to pray for him, also for Sister Christie's dad. There's just a lot of things surrounding that situation, but most importantly, pray for him, pray for her and Brother Al as they deal with that situation. But can we, before we go into the ministry of the word, can we just take these two knees before the Lord in prayer right now? You say, well, Pastor, we prayed a lot this morning. Well, I don't think we pray enough. So I think it's all right that we once again go before him in prayer. Can we do that right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you, God, for an opportunity to come before you to lift these people before you in prayer. God, though many of us may not know them, God, or have interacted with them, Lord, you know, God, Mike, and you, God, Brother Sister Christie's father. God, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord. Let us have opportunity to impact their lives by our prayers, which we pray, God. Let it be for your glory and for your honor, Lord. I pray your hand of protection upon those that may be traveling this weekend, going to see family. God, watch over them. Let your angels encamp around about them, Lord, that we would all be safe, God, to enjoy and celebrate, God, this time. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We bless your precious name. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said amen. Acts chapter number 10. So good to see the Parrish family. Always good. Holiday weekends, we get to have you guys for just a small period of time. So good to see you. God bless you for being here in service. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse number 1. There's a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man. Everybody say devout. Devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? He said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Everybody say memorial. Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Two things the angel said have come up as a memorial before God. In other words, Cornelius, you have built a memorial which God himself recognizes. There are two things that you have done in your life. Were there other things that Cornelius did? Certainly. Were there other attributes and godly characteristics of his life? Without doubt. But can I say that probably the majority of those, if not all of those other characteristics, were founded upon these two things. Praying and giving. Praying and giving. Thy prayers and thine alms have come up as a memorial before God. So I want to preach to you upon this subject this morning. The makings of a memorial. The makings of a memorial. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for yet another opportunity to preaching to these precious people, God, what you've imparted unto me and laid upon my heart. I pray that before we leave here today, God, we would all be reminded of how, God, important, how essential it is, God, to do our part in building a memorial before you, God, a memorial that can be seen by others, it can be recognized, God, that will have not only a direct effect upon us and our family, but upon all those who come after. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The makings of a memorial. According to Strong's Dictionary, the Greek word used here, the passage where we just read, means a reminder or a memorandum, a record. The term and the word used in the translation is memorial. Most self-respecting people would like to be remembered well. Most individuals, when it comes to the time of life, when it's all over for them, and when there's a preacher standing before them, if you will, they hope that he would not have to lie. In reference to their life, what they've done, what they've accomplished, I would say this, not in an arrogant or prideful way, but whenever the subject of me might come up in conversation, I would hope that I would remind the individuals in the discussion of someone who feared God, of someone who made a positive and good impact upon those around about him. Somebody who was remembered well. Places I've been, the acquaintances I've made, the impact, the influences that I've made upon the lives of others, I hope to be beneficial. And that people would find memories of me fond in nature. Oh, what a good guy. Man, we really miss him. And so it is incumbent upon me and incumbent upon you, if you will, that we do our part in the dash. We do our part in making a memorial. Something that is to be remembered. Something that lives beyond my life. Something that will have an impact and influence upon others long after I'm gone. So what is it that really makes a memorial? What is it that we as children of God, as believers, as people who see the significance of the spiritual above all other things, who endeavor to live our lives in the understanding that this is a temporary place and we have an eternal home? What is it that we can do? What is it that you and I can attribute to our lives, if you will, or make into our lives something that is to be remembered? One of the things that we need to do is we need to make sure that we have a good rapport of them that are without. Paul told young Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:7, he said, you must have a good rapport of them which are without. In other words, that others can see that you're good. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Reading Proverbs, one would be reminded of the wise words of Solomon when he said in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A man who had it all, if you will, according to life standards and according to a secular sense, would look back and say, a good name is rather to be chosen. Building edifices, if you will, and accumulating wealth and having all these things and possessions and material things, they pale in comparison to a good name. For a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And while our reputation among people should seek to be established, should remain upright and godly, and while we endeavor to acquire a good name and loving favor and have a good rapport of those that are without, if there's anyone that I really want to attract the attention of, if there's really someone who I want to look over my life and be reminded of goodness, I want it to be my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want God to see me. It's
not an arrogant thing, but it's something that I desire in my life. I want to make a memorial with me, with what God has given me, with this precious gift of life. Yes, I realize it is but a vapor, but I want to do everything I can in this but a vapor to make a memorial before God. To be remembered by God, to come up. The angel said in reference to Cornelius, thy prayers and thine alms have come up as a memorial before God. You read God's word translation, it's translated like this, Acts 10:4. He, Cornelius, stared at the angel and was terrified. Cornelius asked the angel, what do you want, sir? The angel answered him, God is aware of your prayers and your gifts to the poor, and he has remembered you. The New Living Translation, Acts 10:4, reads like this. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel, and the angel replies, your prayers and gifts to the poor have not gone unnoticed by God. Cornelius, God promised all the way back in Abraham's time that blessing would come upon the Gentiles through faith. And when God decided to pour out His Spirit upon the Gentiles, out of all the Gentiles that were alive on the earth at that time, out of all those that God could have chosen, we don't know anything about His pedigree, we don't know about anything about His attachment, we only know that He was a centurion of the Italian band, so He was probably Italian. Cornelius, all the Gentiles in all the world, it is this man who God decides to fulfill His promise to Abraham. Thousands of years have passed, but God still remembers a promise to Abraham. In thee shall all the nations of the world be blessed. Thousands of years have transpired, and now God is making a decision as to who will be the first Gentile to pour out His Spirit upon. And this has been built up, and God looks and He notices, hey, there's a man who has been praying and who has been giving. God decides to pour out His Spirit upon the Gentiles, and it starts with Cornelius and his household, because Cornelius had the makings of a memorial. Because Cornelius had done and was doing the things that brought into remembrance unto God, He's the one. I will choose Him to pour out my Spirit upon the Gentiles. He will be the start. Many of us know the story, but let's revisit the passage and what it says about this man Cornelius. In verse 2, it says he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. Listen, and I know sometimes we don't like this kind of straightforward preaching, but if I'm going to make a memorial before God, it's going to take some devotion. It's going to take some dedication. It's going to take some commitment. And it's not just a Wednesday, Sunday commitment. Oh, it's going to get real. It's not just a certain times. It's not just a certain weekend. It's not just a certain time. It's not just when there's special services. I'm going to make a memorial before God. It's going to be every day. It's going to be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's going to be day by day. Every day is devotion. Every day is another opportunity to further my commitment. Every day is another day to put another brick on this memorial that I'm building. Every day is another day to give and to pray. Every day is another opportunity to build this thing up as a memorial. This weekend commemorates those, as I stated earlier, that have made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Those not short on commitment. Those who decided and made it a point to give of themselves for a cause. And yes, If men can do that, and I in no way, shape, or form demean or would in any way criticize what they did or how they did it, what I'm simply trying to say is if men could do that in a secular sense for a country and for maybe a belief and for maybe a patriotism, what can you and I do in relation to what is spiritual, in relation to what is eternal? If they can do it in relation to a country who is just a couple hundred years old, can we do it for a God who is from everlasting? Can we do it for an eternal kingdom? Can we give of our lives? It's right. We should celebrate that kind of commitment and devotion. We should have Memorial Day. We should have a time where we as a country stop and celebrate those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice and who have dedicated their very lives. But guess what? The same should be said for you and I as soldiers of Jesus Christ. The same should be said for you and I. A type of dedication that is not here today and gone tomorrow. It's in every day, no matter the circumstances, no matter the trials. It's the stabilizing force in my life, Brother Kreger. It's the thing that keeps me going day after day. I may stumble, I may fall from time to time, but I've recognized that what will not give up is my commitment and my consecration unto God. He feared God with his whole house. Let me say this. If I reverence God with my whole house, then what I allow into my home matters. Wow, it got real quiet on that one. What I listen to, what I allow to entertain me. What my children and other people see as being my affinity for. Those things that I spend a lot of time doing, those hobbies that I have, those things that pale in comparison in reality to eternal things. I'm not saying that those things are wrong in and of themselves, but what I'm saying is how attached to those things am I, and what do they show other people around? Is my affinity and my affection for those things more than my affection for the things of God? I can love sports, I can love outdoor activities, I can love those things, but I cannot allow those things to have and take more precedent than the things of God. It's not even a question. If it interferes with God and the things of God, it's not a question as to whether or not I'm going to be a part of it. I will not. Why? Because I'm making a memorial in my life. Because I want others around to see. I'm serious about my dedication to the things of God. And so what I do in my private life is, without a doubt, making a memorial. How I live in front of my family is making a memorial. It's reminding them that I'm either a fake and a fraud, or it's reminding them that I fear and reverence God with my whole house. I know that's straight, but that's the way it is. And then verse 2 says he gave much alms to the people. Yep. Does giving matter? Most certainly does. Two things I said at the beginning, I'll continue to say it. Two things that show and reveal that I fear God and I reverence God is if I pray and if I give. Two things. In my life, if I will do and I will focus upon, I will focus upon praying and I will focus upon giving. These two things, thy prayers and thine alms, have come up as a memorial before God. You've done a lot of great things, Cornelius, but there's two things which trump everything else. There's two things that have come up as a memorial before God, your prayer life and your giving life. See, I am making a memorial with my money. Didn't get many amens on that one. You are making a memorial with what you give. And either you are honoring materials and desires and your affections, your flesh, or you are honoring God. And if I can in good conscience go out, well, it's going to get rough. Spend money on my desires. Spend money on my affections. But I may or may not give unto God. Oh, I'm making a memorial. But I'm choosing to build on wood, hay, and stubble. I'm choosing to build on things that will pass with time. I'm choosing to build on things that will not stand the test. I'm choosing to build things and show other people where my affections are. For where your heart is, there's your treasure also. You know what I love. I can tell anybody what they love. Let me see your checkbook. Man, why you get so quiet in here? Thy prayers and thine alms have come up as a memorial before God. God did a survey of this man's life and said, hey, there's two things that are standing out. I'm going to pour all my spirit upon the Gentiles. I made a promise to Abraham, and it's a blessing going to come on the Gentiles. There's a man, there's two things that are a survey of his life that I see, and they've come up as a memorial. And so it's going to be Cornelius. Cornelius is going to be the one. Why? Because he feared God with his whole house. How do we know that we feared God with his whole house? Because he had a prayer life and he had a giving life. Something that we endeavor to do every morning before school doesn't take very long. Right before the bus comes and if we're already on time and bags are packed, everything's ready. Austin, Kinsley, and Landon, and me and my wife, we get in a circle and we pray. Why? Certainly I want God's hand of protection upon them. Certainly I want God to protect their mind. Certainly I want God to help them as they walk the halls of the school. Certainly I know there's exposures and things that they go through and things that they deal with. But aside from all that, I'm making a memorial. I know sometimes it may just, you know, the bus is coming, it's already down the street, so we got to say a quick prayer and they got to get out the door. But I'm making a memorial, trying to build something in their life to understand that prayer matters. It matters what we do. It matters what we give our time to. It matters. Why? Because one of these days they're going to have opportunity to start building a memorial for their families. And I want to have built into their heart and into their life to make a, I don't say these things in any way, shape, or form, try to put our family on a pedestal. What I'm simply trying to say is that it's not for your approval and it's not for you to praise us. What it is for making a memorial before God. Cornelius, you gave and you revered God with your whole house. And now you and all your house are about to get something in return. Cornelius, you feared God with your whole house. And now you and your whole house are about to get something in return. Cornelius, you prayed to God always, constantly. I said it, I'll say it again. There are two things that unfortunately are playing less of a prominent role in the repertoire of many believers. Giving and praying. I don't know why the church is not functioning like it should be functioning. It's not because of God. It's not lack of His power. It's lack of His people making praying and giving a priority. Amen or oh me, it's so anyhow. If we as a people, to a man and woman, would start concentrating on praying and giving more, oh, God would blow our minds. FAC of Sandwich would come up as a memorial before God. And when God, this end time starts to happen and things, and I believe it's going to be a God thing. Could it be that this little old church here in Sandwich, Illinois, that we pray and we give so much so that when God decides to start to turn this thing on and it begins to happen, he says, hey, I got to start right there. Their prayers and their giving has come up as a memorial before me. So what are you saying? I'm saying these two things. Man, if we could get these two things right. Praying and giving. If we could get them. If we could practice them. And we could make them priorities in our lives. God would blow our minds. What would happen in our midst. And what would take place in our services. And what would take place in our interactions with the community. If we want Sandwich to be a city set upon a hill, and we want this church and this body of believers to really stand out and be memorable, praying and giving. Praying and giving. I may be on this for a while. Praying and giving. Praying and giving. Praying and giving. I'm not talking about just giving your money. I'm talking about your time, your talent, and your treasure. The three T's. I give my time to it. I give my talent to it. And I give my treasure to it. If I will give and I will pray, guess what? I'm making a memorial. When I'm praying and I'm giving, I'm applying rock and mortar. I am building a spiritual memorial before God. Jude 1:20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm coming to a close. Here's what happened. Many of us have heard the story, but it bears repeating. It's good to look at what transpires and what takes place for this man who had the makings of a memorial. The man who was devout, feared God with all his house, prayed always, gave much alms to the people. This man that God decided to be the beginning of pouring out his spirit upon the Gentiles. This man called Cornelius. Peter comes to the house, Acts 10:27. Many of us know the story. Cornelius and initially, he's praying and the angel visitation comes. The angel tells him to send men to Joppa for Simon Peter. They go and find Simon Peter who is praying and go figure. He's praying. God gives him a vision. There's men at the door. Go with them. Peter goes and goes to the house of Cornelius in verse number 27. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many, everybody say many. Many that were come together. Could it be that it only takes one to turn into many? It only takes one who will get the giving and the praying right. It only takes one who can be the catalyst. And as a result, there's many that are gathered there. There's one whose prayers and alms came up as a memorial before God. But when Peter shows up at the house, there's many. Cornelius and his household are gathered together. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Cornelius says, listen, this is how you came to be here. This is why I sent those men to Joppa to find you and bring you back. Because while I was fasting and praying, an angel visited me and told me to go get you. And then here's something that I've said before and I'll say again, something that I hope to see with my own eyes one day. Acts 10:44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. While he's preaching, the Holy Ghost begins to fall. I was preaching, the Holy Ghost begins to fall. What was the catalyst for that? I'll tell you what the catalyst for that was: praying and giving. You want to know what opened that door? Praying and giving. And while that was possible, that while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. You want to know how it was possible that the Holy Ghost fell as Peter was preaching? Because there was a man who was making a memorial. There was a man who was doing something in his everyday life that came up as a memorial before God. They have the circumcision which believe who are astonished. Why? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and prayed they him to tarry certain days. Many benefited from the memorial that Cornelius made. Might I say this? In an indirect sense, you and I benefited from the memorial that Cornelius made.
Yes, true.
And here on this Sunday morning, this man who did not see himself as anything special was just, according to Scripture, a centurion in the Roman army. This man, we make mention of him this morning. Thousands of years later, we're still talking about him. What did he do? Something special? Something amazing? Not in the eyes of the world, no. Did he develop some cure for a terminal illness? Did he invent some great invention or innovate something which revolutionized technology? No. In the eyes of the world, what he did probably wasn't significant at all. Here this morning, you and I are once again mentioning him, and it's simply because he prayed and he gave. You and I don't care what your skill level, I don't care what your talent, I don't care what your ability, I don't care what your social status, your demographic, I don't care the balance in your bank account, none of those things matter. But every single one of us can make a memorial by praying and giving. So on this Memorial Day weekend, this is challenged from your pastor. Will you make a memorial? You stand to your feet. Called her Meemaw. Didn't have much interaction with Meemaw. Saw her a few times growing up. Stayed in her home one time. Such a wonderful, gentle lady. And then I've never had the opportunity to meet Meemaw's parents. Somehow they introduced Meemaw to this precious truth. Meemaw sought to make a memorial in her life. And on my dad's side, Meemaw endeavored to raise and reach to her son, Oscar Leon Wells. And Oscar Leon Wells, though he was not a man without faults, Oscar Leon Wells endeavored to make a memorial in his life in front of Kenneth Lowell Wells.
Kenneth Lowell sought to make a memorial in his life and is still making a memorial to this day. And Nathan L. Wells got to see the memorial being made by Kenneth L. Wells. It's made by Oscar Leon Wells. It's made by Mimo. I'm thankful. Though Mimo and Granddaddy have passed from this life, my dad's in his later 60s. I, as a 40-year-old man, becoming increasingly aware of my need to make sure I make a memorial. My only wish this morning is that I somehow, some way, strum a chord of relevance in your own life where you say, I can do more. I want to make a memorial. How do I do it? Is it hard? No. Pray and give. Pray and give. Pray and give. These altars are open for individuals that want to make a memorial. The makings of a memorial are available for each and every one of us. It doesn't take any special skill set. It doesn't take any special talent. It doesn't take any special intellect. It just takes a willingness to pray and give. And we can make a memorial.
No more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no
Lord, help me make
more love. I could never love alone. I want to live.
Until there's just no more.
to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. I could never have love alone.
I could never.
Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for challenging us. Lord, each and every one of us have opportunities to make a memorial. To do what we can, God. To build lives that live on, legacies which remain. We thank you for the opportunity. Let's take your word and apply it to our lives, God. Leave here encouraged to go from here and make memorials. In your precious name, in Jesus' name we ask. God bless you for being here in the house of the Lord. You may go in Jesus' precious name.